Okay. Genesis chapter 45, and let's go ahead and read verses 1 through 5, and we'll just let somebody grab a verse, and then somebody else grab a verse, and just go about that way. Who wants to help us to read this morning? Susan's going to get us kicked off here. You read as many as you want. Down through, we're going to go through five. So if you want to read a couple, that's great.
Okay. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren, and he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard.
Okay. Well, what's the next? Grab the next couple verses or so. Yes.
And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near me, I pray you." And they come near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt."
Okay, good. Thank you. And who wants to grab verse 5? Roger?
"Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life."
All right. So we're looking at today, now this is just a thought, but we're looking at today Genesis, the first book of Revelation. What we've been studying here. Now, the ironic thing is that the book of Genesis actually means the book of beginnings. However, you do see the first prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ in Genesis chapter 3, I believe verses 14 and 15. We're not necessarily studying that, but we're just making a point. But what we're actually seeing here today is Joseph's revealing some things, or God's plan being revealed through the life of Joseph. So we're just giving it that thought. Or the thought that's there in the lesson is in the revelation concerning the life of Joseph. Now, the first thing that we're looking at here is Joseph has literally revealed his person, who he actually is. Up until this point, his brothers thought that he was some kind of, Egyptian, some kind of, maybe in one way, they're really confused. You know, is he setting us up? What's going on? They've been uncomfortable. Remember, they were invited into his home. And up until this point, they did not really know who Joseph was. Now, if you notice there in verse number 1, the Bible says that Joseph could not refrain himself. Again, this is a very emotional situation for Joseph. He couldn't hold it in any longer. In fact, the Bible says that before all them, he stood by him and he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him, and Joseph made himself known to his brethren. And the Bible says in verse number 2, he wept out loud. This is a very emotional, hard situation for Joseph. And again, I think that there's probably a lot of good emotions and maybe even some bad emotions. But nevertheless, he's weeping so loud. He pushed everybody away. He said, "Let me be alone for a little bit." Do you ever get into a place where you just need to be left alone? Just say, "Hey, leave me alone a little bit. I need some time." And maybe you started weeping at some point. Well, Joseph started to weep, maybe uncontrollably weep so loud that he could be heard out even outside those that were away from him. And so that think about that circumstance. Think about that situation. And that is how he comes to reveal himself. And so then it goes on. It says in verse number 3, "And Joseph said unto his brethren," "I am Joseph, doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Why do we think that they couldn't answer him? I thought that was in, what's that, brother?
Dumbfounded.
They didn't know what it was. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to do. Yeah, that they were probably thinking, we're in a pickle, aren't we? We're in a bad spot. this is our brother who we thought that we had destroyed, and or well, yeah, essentially in some ways they did, but then God came in and took over, of course. And so, yeah, this is a weird spot. They were troubled. The Bible says they were literally troubled at his presence. You ever been around someone and they made you feel uncomfortable? Well, probably take that and multiply it times 10. Because this is someone who they knew that they had done wrong. Have you ever noticed that when somebody does you wrong, they tend to avoid you? You ever seen that before? I mean, if you're at Walmart and if they saw you coming down the aisle, they're going down the other aisle. Right? You ever seen that before? That they know that you did or they did you wrong and they try to avoid you at all costs. You don't ever hear from them. Maybe you lent them some money and boy, you know, now you've never heard a thing from them. You know, they said, hey, I'll give it to you back on the 15th when the check comes in, and then the 15th comes around and boy, you don't hear from them, right? They avoid you, but then you run into them and it's a little bit awkward sometimes, huh? You know, it's a little bit, well, think about that on a much, much bigger scale. That's what's happened here, is this is their brother who they sold into slavery. This is their brother who they basically conspired a whole story and deceived their father. And here we are. Now they have finally come full circle. Up until this point, Joseph knew what was going on, but his brothers did not know what's going on. And the question was regarding his father. Now, when he asked that question, probably one of the reasons why they were fearful is because they're thinking, well, if we tell him that our dad's dead, then he's going to punish us right now. Because he probably has enough class that he wouldn't do this while his father's alive. And say, how do you know that? Well, we're going to verify that here just a little bit later. Because literally, after Joseph's father passed away, they thought, now he's going to get his vengeance. Now he's going to get his revenge. Dad's gone, and I know he wouldn't touch us. You know, he had enough honor and class out of respect for our dad to not hurt us while dad was alive, but now dad's gone. Now it's time to get even. And that's, again, you know, so when I say the first thought that we're saying is the revelation of his person, I don't just mean literally, but I think that he's actually revealing his character and who God made him to be, right? You know, something that I will tell you, and this is a thought that maybe you can take with you, is that oftentimes it is in times of adversity that your true character is revealed, right? You know, how people act when they're not in adversity, how people act when they're not under pressure, if they act good, that's fine and dandy, that's great. But how a person acts when they're under pressure, how a person acts during adversity, during the hard times, that's who their true character is. Now, it generally in that moment does not build character, but it reveals character. So it's important to know that when we take these things that we're talking about and apply them to our own lives, and when we're in a time of adversity, when we're going through a hard time, when we feel have we been stranded and betrayed and left aside, that it's not that moment in particular that your character is formed. I believe that God does use those circumstances and forms and builds your character as you go along. But in that moment, if you don't have character, it's going to be revealed. If you don't have godly character, let me specify, it's going to be revealed. So when I say, when we talk about the revelation of his purpose, I don't just mean literally he's coming out and saying, I'm your brother whom you sold into Egypt. But I think Joseph's actually showing him what kind of man that he actually is. So we have to ask ourselves the question a little bit today, church, when we're faced with adversity, when we're faced with hard times, when we're worried and we're scared, what kind of character are we actually showing everyone else around us? Because I just want to remind you, your kids are watching. Your church family's watching, your neighbors are watching, all those who don't, you know, all those people who have been skeptical of your service to the Lord and you proclaiming to be a Christian, they are watching. And we are literally revealing our character, showing what we're really made of in those times of adversity. Now, I shared with you, I might have said something about it Wednesday night, but you know, the Bible says that if you faint in the day... Excuse me, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. It's what the Bible teaches us in the book of Proverbs. One of my favorite passages of Scripture in the Bible, because there's a lot of truth in that Scripture. If you're the one who quits and just falls apart in the day of adversity, your character says that you weren't that strong. Okay? So maybe as we're talking about the revelation of his person, maybe God can use that thought to help you to reveal to yourself what kind of character you have during the time of adversity. So we see, first of all, this morning as we're talking about the first book of Revelation concerning the life of Joseph is the revelation of his person. The second thought is the revelation of his purpose. Let's look back in verses 4 and 5. chapter 45 here in Genesis, verses 4 and 5. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life." What a statement of character to make. He said, "Hey, I'm the one that you did wrong. But don't be sorry. Don't be mad at yourselves." What he has essentially said is this was part of God's plan. Now, I believe that he mentioned that. We're going to give you a couple of reasons on the revelation of his purpose. First of all, was the intent of pardon. I believe that Joseph, not in an arrogant manner, was truly trying to forgive. I believe that Joseph had probably forgiven a long time ago. Now, this is the first time he's been really interacting with them during this whole process of them coming to get the food. But he was actually revealing himself, first of all, for the purpose to pardon. If you often find if in our lives when you serve the Lord, God often reveals himself to pardon us too. God allows things to happen in our lives and revelations to happen in our lives so that God can use that opportunity to show who God is and to actually give forgiveness. And I believe that Joseph was reminding his brethren here and said, "Hey, I know what's happened. Part of me revealing myself is so that you can know who I am and know that I've actually forgiven you for it." Right? Now, the interesting thing about it is I don't actually see directly up until this point where his brothers have actually asked for forgiveness. Isn't that something? So essentially, Joseph was given a pardon or showing forgiveness even though it wasn't even asked. You see, oftentimes people, we have a big misunderstanding of what forgiveness really is, and really there's so much what the Bible teaches about that. Of course, we start with the example of Christ, and we even mentioned that Wednesday night, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. But one thing that's important to understand is that forgiveness is not as much for them as it is much it is for you. What it does is it allows you to release that. It allows you to let go of it. Okay? And so here Joseph is essentially saying, hey guys, you're my brethren. Yes, you sold me. But you know what? I forgave you. I've moved on from it. I've released it. I've let it go. So we see that it's to pardon. Now, that's also validated if we also want to go to chapter 50. What we were just mentioning a second ago about them, you know, being scared when he said, "Hey, is my dad alive?" Chapter 50, verses 15 through 21. All right. Who wants to help read a little bit there?
Tess.
You want to get that, Brother Kevin? Okay. Chapter 50, verses 15 through 21.
And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us at all the evil which we did unto him." And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, "Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee, now the trespasses of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now, we pray thee, forgive the trespasses of the servants of the God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him.
Yes, somebody else want to read a little bit? Who else hasn't read? Miss Melanie? I love these scriptures. Really focus on what the story is saying here. Go ahead, Miss Melanie.
And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God. You want me to continue reading?
Yeah, go ahead and go down to verse 21.
But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them.
All right, so what we're seeing here, I actually started to giggle a little bit as Brother Kevin was reading because of what they're saying. Did you notice it says, And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and he will requite us all the evil that we did. And then it goes on to say that they sent a messenger. That's actually what made me laugh a little bit, because they were like, maybe we should remind Joseph of the promise that he made, right? We should remind. So in light of what we see here in chapter 50, this helps us to understand what we just read better in chapter 45 a little bit better, because when he said, hey, I am Joseph, is my father yet alive? Their thought was he's wanting to know if he can get us or not. Here in chapter 50, that suspicion is confirmed, because now the father has died, and they're worried. They're worried. This is also, from what I can tell, remember we mentioned up until chapter 45, as far as I could tell, I don't see where they directly asked for forgiveness. Now they have finally asked for forgiveness. Here is what we've seen here. And they sent a messenger to Joseph, saying that father did command before he died, saying, hey, let me send a messenger. But shall say to me, Forgive me, I pray you, trespasses thy brethren their sin, for they did evil that which we pray thee, forgive thy trespasses of the servants of the God thy father. And Joseph wept when he spake unto them. And his brethren also fell down before his face and said, Behold, we'll be thy servants. I really like what is said in verse 19. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for I am in the place of God. For I am in the place of God. I believe that there's good-hearted people, good-hearted Christians that never get to this point in their life where they can say, I'm in the place of God. In other words, I am exactly where God wants me to be. Yeah, Joseph has a little bit of spiritual, not a little bit, a lot of spiritual understanding, where he's saying, you know what? I know that you're worried now that Dad's gone that I'm going to harm you. I'm going to get even. Because that word requite, actually, let me give that to you, means to repay evil or good, to do or give in return. That literally means to get revenge or to pay you back as to what you've done. That's what they were thinking. But Joseph is reminding his brethren, he says, hey, don't worry. Just because Dad's gone doesn't mean I'm going to go back against my word. Just because Dad's gone doesn't... I didn't forgive, listen real close, conditionally. So what do you mean by that? You know, sometimes we'll go through the process of forgiveness and we'll say in our mind, but we put conditions on it, don't we? Well, I forgive you, but this, and then but that, and then this. And that. We attach addendums to it, if you will. Let's be careful about that. If we're Christians, if we forgive, then we need to forgive and move on. Okay? Doesn't mean that the scars aren't there. Doesn't mean that the hurt wasn't there. I believe that we see by Joseph's emotional attachment to this that I believe it was there. But he wasn't going to change his position on how he treated his brethren. He didn't say, well, I'm going to forgive you up until Dad dies. I'll just kind of hold my peace up until... No. He said, fear not, for I'm the place of God. And friend, if we really want to have that kind of godly character, because remember, we're talking about the revelation of Joseph's character, then you need to get yourself in the place of God. Be where God wants you to be. And I'm not necessarily talking about a geographical location, because it refers to a place. We think we're talking about a geographical location. No, I'm talking about a spiritual condition is what I'm referring to. Because if you're in the place of God, it really doesn't matter where you're at, whether you're in the Philippines, like the Steffi family died serving the Lord, or whether you're in the United States of America, they were in the place of God, I firmly believe with all my heart, because that's where God wanted them to be, serving the Lord. Does that mean everything was how they wanted things to be? Does that mean that they had the house that they wanted in the Philippines? Does that mean that they enjoyed being away from their daughters and their families and things that they used to have, the luxuries that they used to have in the United States? No, but let me just remind you that they were in the place of God. That's where Joseph was. Do we think that he enjoyed going through all that process? Do we think that he enjoyed going through the prisons and being forgotten about? They just locked the key and locked the door and threw away the key on him. But he can stand firm and say, I'm in the place of God. All of this happened for a reason. And the Bible says, and Joseph said, because it was to preserve life. You thought it and meant it for evil. God meant it for good. So that goes to show you that even in an evil circumstance or a bad circumstance, that God can use it and make something good out of it. And that's exactly what we've seen. Which kind of leads us to our next thought. We've got to kind of move along through some of these. We see that the pardon, but then as far as the revelation concerning his purpose, was the pardon. Second of all, was to provide. To provide, let's go back to chapter 45, verses 6 through 12. Anybody that hasn't read that wants to? Chapter 45, verses 6 through 12. I think you were going to read, weren't you? You want to read a little bit? Go ahead.
For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years, in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that hath sent me, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and a lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not.
That's fine right there, actually. So we see here that Joseph reminds them that, of course, in the first part we've seen as far as the purpose was to pardon, second of all was to provide. And Joseph says, look, not only do I forgive you, but God used the situation to provide for you. Verse 7, God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So again, Joseph, in revealing his character, is mature enough to say that, look, no hard feelings. God had a plan and a purpose, and part of that purpose was to provide for you so that you would be preserved because you would be hungry and you would be short on food, and literally to save you with a great deliverance. I mean, they didn't know what was going on in Israel. They didn't know what God was doing in Egypt this whole time. As far as they thought, Joseph was dead. But God used it to provide. And then in verse number 13, I'll read that real quick. And ye shall tell my father all of my glory in Egypt and all that you have seen, that we may make haste and bring the father hither. And so I think that he's talking about the praise, the glory that he's referring to every time you see the provision and what he's just said, that the Lord did this, that the Lord provided, that the Lord did this. So we come down to praise. Hey, let's praise the Lord together on what he has done. And then, of course, let's go down to verse 14 and 15. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed them all, his brethren, and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. So the other reason, the purposes we've talked about, to pardon, to provide, to praise, and then to be personal. Notice the development of the relationship. Now that relationship has been restored. Now that fellowship, they're having a family reunion, if you will. In particular, for someone who they thought was dead. Now, a family reunion is great after years of separation, but I believe it's even greater when you find out that that family member you thought was dead was actually alive, and not just alive, but doing very well, right? So think about this reunion so it's to be personal. So, you know, oftentimes when we're talking about God's purpose, ultimately, remember that no matter what you've gone through, God always intends for you to be closer to Him. Here we see the embracing, we see the brotherly kisses that are amongst the family that are coming. they have now become closer through this circumstance that God has put them all through. God always intends, through any trial or adversity, part of that purpose is for you to be closer to Him. Okay? So, and then the last thing that we want to mention this morning, we've talked about the revelation of His person, the revelation of His purpose, and the last thing is the resources of Joseph. Now, look at all these resources that we're talking about. Starting in verse 16, and the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Joseph said unto Joseph, excuse me, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lade your beast, and go get you into the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat of the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye, take your wagons out of Egypt, for your little ones, for your wives, and bring your father, and come. Also regard not your stuff, for all the good of the land of Egypt is yours. So now look at the resources that God, through Joseph, has provided. Essentially they're saying, hey, you're welcome to the best that Egypt has to offer, the good of the land. We're going to get you a good place for you and your family. In fact, I'm ordering you to go get your family and bringing them back to Egypt and enjoy the best that we have to offer. And friend, I'm sorry, Chuck? The best of the best, absolutely. And so what we've seen here is it's another reminder, and we'll say this and be about through. It's a reminder that when we learn to live in total surrender unto the Lord, understand that a lot of the things that we go through is for us to submit to God's will. And when we do that, you'll find that you're then connected to unlimited resources of what God is. We're always limited in what we can do. We're limited on funds. We're limited on locations. We're limited on space. We have limitations. But friend, even in Psalms says, why limit the unlimited God? Or essentially, there's a message there about that. You can't put a limit on the Lord of what He's capable of doing. You have literally unlimited resources. God can provide. God can open doors. God can answer prayer. And so essentially, when we get ourselves connected and submit our will to God, then we get to be connected to those unlimited resources as a picture of what Joseph was able to do his family. Well, we're going to finish up there concerning the study that we've looked at here. Probably in a couple weeks, I'm going to change gears on a little bit, something that we want to do. And we've done a lot of prayer about that. We'll probably just have a couple lessons until then as the Lord leads. But we got another program that we want to introduce to you. I hope this study on the life of Joseph has been an encouragement and help to you. Anybody ever have any other thoughts or questions about that?
Okay. Yeah, it sounds good, Dana. Does it? No, you did great. Thank you. How are you this morning? Good. Yeah, how's Diana? Amen. Okay, good. Well, y'all are still in our prayers.
Yeah, say hi.
Hi.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.